We're going to start today, Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. We finished off at the very bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Bet. We were talking about the Shkalim. Galov Yadua Lefnei Rish Lakish said that Atid Haman Lishkol Shkalim Al Yisrael, and therefore God said that we should start collecting our Shkalim at the beginning of Adar. Right, normally we say it's the beginning of Adar just to get ready for Nisan, so that by Nisan, when they're Tomim V'Talishkai, everything's in. But here they're giving a drush on it, and they're saying it was because they knew that Haman was going to come and demand all this money, and therefore they should give the money to the Beit HaMikdash before all their money gets taken away. Okay, so then, Vayomer HaMelech LaHaman, sorry, we're at the very bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Bet. HaKesef Natun Lach, V'Ha'am La'Asopo Ketov Be'enecha. Achashverosh says to Haman, you can have the money and the nation to do whatever you want with them. Amar Rabbi Abba. He's going to give a mashal, what this was like. Mashal d'Achashverosh v'Haman, l'ma ha'davar domeh. L'shnei b'nei adam, l'echad haya lo tel b'toch sadeu, u'l'echad haya lo charitz b'toch sadeu. One had a mound of dirt, and one had a pit that was waiting to be filled. Ba'al ha'charitz amar, mi yiten li tel zeh b'damim. The guy who had the ditch said, I wish I could buy from somebody a tail to put all the dirt into my charitz, into my hole. Baal ha-tail amar mi yiten li charitz zeh b'damim, right? The guy who had the mound said, who would give me a ditch, right, that I could put my dirt into? Liyamim nizdavgu zeh etzal zeh. Ah, one day they met each other and this one said, oh, I have a mound, and that one said, I have this. Right? It actually reminds me, it's almost like a remez, nizdavgu zeh lezeh, they use in connection coming up Tisha B'Av, in the Kina about the children of Rabbi Yishmael, the Kohen Gadol, that they were both beautiful and they each got set up with different, they were each slaves, and then they put them together in the room and they're supposed to have sex with each other, and they find out in the morning they're brother and sister. You know, they one sits in the corner saying, how could I? That you don't know the kina I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
It's some horrible. Of you. Yeah, it's a horrible kina. It's all about that. This one said, oh no. Here, maybe just make room with that chair.
Maybe there's some folding chairs here.
Yeah, we could use that too. Yeah, you can use them. So, that's fine. It's okay. So one, it's this terrible story. You'll pay attention to the keynote this year when you see them. It's this horrible story of the, and it says nizdavgu zelazeh, I think. In other words, the same thing. The two adonim, they got together. What happened was Rabbi Yishmael's children were beautiful, and they said, oh, I have the most beautiful slave, and she looks like this, and I have the most beautiful slave, and he looks like that. And they said, oh, perfect. We'll put them together, and we'll have beautiful children, and we'll have lots of slaves. So the nizdavgu zelazeh comes up here also. It's almost like a foreshadowing of something bad to happen, that sometimes when people get together, it's not always a positive thing. So they get together and they say, oh, look, I have a charitz and I have a tail. So Amarlo Bala charitz, the Bala tail, mechur li tilcha. Amarlo, right, he says, sell me your tail. He says to him, Tola to b'chinam v'halavai, I've been waiting to get rid of this, just take it, right? I'm more than happy because I would have bought, right? I would have bought the tail from you. So here, you want my charitz? Take it and we'll be done with it. So that's like the iska that Haman and Achashverosh made. Almost you could say it like this. Achashverosh was happy to pay somebody to get rid of the Jews, right? So when Haman came along, he said, oh, perfect. You're exactly the guy I've been looking for. You want to do it also? Great. We'll just do it, right? I won't even pay you anything. But you know, you can have the money. You can do whatever you want with them. Like, I'm just glad to be rid of them. Vayasar HaMelech et Taba'ato. Here's a really interesting statement. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Gedola Hasarat Tabat Yoter Me'arba'im U'shmona Nevi'im V'sheva Nevi'ot. This moment of taking off that Tabat and sealing the fate of the Jewish people, right, Lira'ah, that he was going to kill them at that point, had a more powerful impact than 48 Nevi'im and Sheva Nevi'ot had. Okay, why was that? Shekulan, all those Nevi'im that prophesized, Lo hechzirum lemutav. It didn't have any effect on the people. The people weren't chozer b'tshuva or anything. Ve'ilu hasarat tabat hechziratan lemutav. But as soon as Achashverosh sealed their fate and said, you're all going to get killed, everybody went and turned back to God. Okay, this is a psychological phenomenon, that, right? People tell you, oh, you should do this, you should do that, right? It doesn't affect you in any way. But when something bad happens, then everybody gets together and, does tshuva and all sorts of other, unfortunately positive things come out of negative situations. Tanu Rabbanan. Now we're going to talk about these Arba'im U'shmona Nevi'im. We're going to have a long discussion about them. So it's interesting. It doesn't talk about who they were, although Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel and in the Baha'i, quoted from the Baha'i, there's a bit of a different version as to who these 48 were. Rashi actually lists 46, if I'm looking at Rashi, and he says, and I don't know who the last two are. Okay, Rabbeinu Chananel, based on the Baha'i, has a totally different version with different people. He gets to 48, but with also different people. There's whole difference of opinion as to which Nevi'im are included in this list and which not. We're going to see also here, what do you mean 48? There weren't more than that? And then, Dafka the Sheva Nevi'ot, the Gemara is going to have a discussion as to who they were. I don't know why the Gemara chose not to discuss who the 48 were. Maybe it was too complicated. There were too many options, right? At least the Sheva Nevi'ot, it was easier to deal with. Or maybe they were just surprised that there were women on the list and where would these women come from? Anyway, we're going to go through that now. Okay, so first we're going to talk about them a little bit on the side about something else. Arba'im u'shmona nevi'im v'sheva nevi'ot ninabu lehem li'Yisrael v'lo pachatu v'lo hotiru amasha katu b'Torah chutz mimikra megillah. They didn't add or detract anything from what it said in the Torah, and there's a whole thing about it. You can read in the Rambam, he writes about the, you know, the nevi'im don't have power to change mitzvot to add mitzvot. We've learned this also before. Except for mikra megillah, that's the one thing that they added. Now some people say that they distinguish between mitzvot that are midorabanan that are connected to mitzvot midoraita, that they might have added details or, you know, something. But when it when it's coming about mikra megillah, it's something totally separate, right? It has no connection to what it said in the Torah. You know, it's a whole new thing. I saw in a footnote, I didn't get to look it up, but that the Sefer Mitzvot Gedolot, I think it is, from the Koran, it says it, that they add Megillah as one of the 613 mitzvot. If I remember correctly, it was the Smag, I think. So anyway, it's something to... Oh, no, it's the Bahag, the Halachot Gedolot, not the... It's the Bahag. The Bahag is a Gaonic book. It's one of the few Sperm that we have access to most of it from the time of the Gaonim, the Bahag. I don't think we have a... Do we have the Bahag, or is it just from quotes? I don't remember. A lot of the stuff from the Gaonim, we don't actually have the books. There are quotes from other... like the Otzar HaGaonim was a guy who put together all the... I have it here, where is it? I don't know, it's a whole set. You can see it's a big set. I don't know what happened to it. It's a whole set of people who put together quotes from books from the Gaonim time period in a book form, and in order of the Gemaras, and then there's like Shutim, and they've just put together from, you know, the Torah quotes a lot from the Gaonim and other people, and he just, you know, they bring all the quotes. It's amazing work. Okay, but I think the Halachot Gedolot we actually have. Okay, so they didn't do anything except for Megillah. Now they say, my Darush, how did they think that it was okay to do this? Amar b'chia b'aven, Amar b'yashob ben korcha, uma me'avdut l'cheirut amrinan shira, mimita l'chayim lo kol shekein. If on Pesach we came from slavery to freedom and we said Shira, if we were saved from near death and we got saved to life, lo kol shekein, all the more so, right? We weren't going to die in Mitzrayim, we were just slaves. So all the more so we should say Hallel. Now what's going to be obvious here? Number one, they're saying the Kriyat Megillah is a form of Hallel. Okay, that's what they're saying. Megillah is like saying Hallel. So then the Gemara says, Ihachi Halel Nami, then we should also say Halel on Purim, and we know that we don't say Halel on Purim. So here's a famous sugya, which is going to discuss three different reasons as to why we don't say Halel on Purim. So Filohachi Halel Nami Nema, we should also say Halel then, if that's the case. So the answer in the Gemara given, okay, this is without a name, Lefisha Einum Rim Halel al Neshe B'chutz Laretz. Okay, we don't say Halel on a Nes that happened in Chutz Laretz. That's the typical answer given. Right? This happened outside of Israel, so that's why, for example, on Hanukkah we do say it, because that happened in Israel, but on Purim we don't. But now, what do they say? Yitziat Mitzrayim, Degam b'chutz Dines b'chutz la'aretz, right? Hechi amrinan Shira. Yitziat Mitzrayim clearly didn't happen in Eretz Israel, so how do we say Shira for that? Kedetanya, so first of all, you could distinguish between that's in the Torah and Purim isn't. In other words, when we usually say it happened in Chutz La'aretz, we say as opposed to Hanukkah. In other words, that's a day that was added later, and then do we say it has status like the earlier days or not? And then maybe you can make that distinction. Anyway, the Gemara doesn't go along those lines. What do they say? Kedetanya, there's a braita. Ad shelo nechnesu la'aretz hukshuru kol aretzot lomar shira. Mishe nechnesu la'aretz lo hukshuru kol aretzot lomar shira. What do they say? It depends when. In the beginning, right, before we ever got into Eretz Israel, then it's almost, it sounds exactly like the Isur Bamot. right? You were allowed to use Bamot as long as we hadn't gotten into Israel yet. Once we got into Israel, then you could no longer use these other options. Same thing here. Halil, there were all sorts of things that happened that we might say halal on that happened before we ever got into the land. But once we got into the land, that became the center. And from then on, no other miracles that would happen outside of Israel would necessitate us to say halal. Okay, so that distinction only happens once we get into the land. And Yitzhak Mitzrayim was before that, so it doesn't count. That's one answer. So one answer is Chutz La'aretz versus Eretz Yisrael. Rav Nachman Amar, Kriyata Zo Halela. The reading of the Megillah is the Halel, and therefore we don't need to say Halel again. We said Halel, that's Kriyat Megillah. We no longer have a need to say Halel. This, by the way, if you say that, it almost matches, I don't know, not that I saw anyone said this, but I was thinking about it, the Halel at night on Purim. We say Halel at night, and we say it during the day. And Megillah, we talked about why we say it twice. If you look at it as a form of Halel, and maybe as a form of Halel, like the miracle, right, like we do on Pesach. Now, the difference is on Pesach, we really do it because we got out at night, right? We started to get out at night. But you could say also Purim, I don't know. In other words, maybe it's kind of based on the Halel model of Pesach, that we do it at night and we do it during the day. Rava Amar, Bishlama Hatam. Now, third answer. Okay? So one is that we don't say Halel at all if it happens in Chutz La'aretz. Number two, the Megillah is Halel, and therefore we have no need to say Halel in addition. By the way, some people say, based on this, that if you don't have a Megillah and you can't read the Megillah, you can say Halel instead. Not everybody agrees with this, but there's an opinion that says that. Rava Amar, Bishlama Hatam Halalu Avdei Hashem, the law of De Paro. Elahacha, Halalu Avdei Hashem, the law of De Achashverosh. The law of De Achashverosh. Akate Avdei Achashverosh Anan. What do they say? What do we say in Halal? Halalu Avdei Hashem. Right? We're Avdei Hashem. What happened in Mitzrayim? We switched from being Avdei Paro to Avdei Hashem. But now, in the time of Achashverosh, we still worshipped, not worship, but we were still his slaves. We didn't have autonomy, complete autonomy. So what do they say? That you only say halal when you go to a state of complete autonomy. As long as we're still under the jurisdiction of the goyim, that's not a reason to say halal. So that's the third answer. So now they say, Bein l'Ravu, Bein l'Rav Nachman, both these two answers, kashya. We have a difficulty. What's the difficulty? Bahatanya, this brayta that we showed that supported the first answer, seems to be very straight and clear cut. So why do we need the other two answers? Right? What did it say? Mishenichnesu la'aretz, lo hukshiru kol ha'aretzot lomar shira. Kevan shegalu, so that's the question, right? Since it said, once we got into the land, you can no longer say shira. So then that becomes obvious from the brayta. Why are these other emoraim who live after the brayta, right? If a brayta says it, it seems explicit from the brayta. Why do we have two other answers given? Okay, why do they bring in, the Megillah is Halel, and we were still of the Achashverosh? So what do they say? What do they do with this brayta? They say, you only said part of it, right? But really, what does this mean? And it's not that there was more to the brayta, but this is the way they're interpreting it. Kevan shegalu chazru lehechshleirana rishon. Okay, this is exactly the question they have with the Bamot, right? Once the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, do we go back to being allowed to do Bamot or not anymore, right? Was the Kedusha forever? So the same thing. Once we got into land, does that mean we now have a permanent status that only Israel, even if we're no longer living there? According to Rav and Rav Nachman, no. Dafka, once we went back to Galut, then we were allowed to have miracles in Galut that necessitate Shira. Okay, that's their approach to it.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that they don't discuss that God's name isn't in the Megillah as one of their arguments. You know what I'm saying?
That's interesting, right. It doesn't say that God...
I mean,
because God isn't explicitly in the Megillah, and therefore you're saying maybe that would be a good reason not to say Shira, because it's not 100% clear cut that it came from God. That's what you're saying, or
and we all believe it, but I guess if you're an atheist, you could make the argument that God had nothing to do with this. I
mean, right.
It's just interesting that we all believe it, but it's
right. Well, that's also because the whole rabbinic approach is to treat it as a miracle. Right, it's listed in Megillat Ta'anit as one of these days that a miracle happened, and that's why we celebrate it. So the whole premise of celebrating it is based on the fact. So if once we're going to celebrate it, then we're assuming that the miracle came from God. Now you could say, so maybe there's some sort of distinction.
Then that's why you shouldn't say Hallel.
Right, maybe. Right, but they don't view that. I think because their perspective was this was a miracle just like any other, even if it was hidden. Right, it's a good question. I wonder if it comes up.
It also seems strange to me that when they were talking about Yitzhak Mitzrayim, you would think that the argument for saying Halal then is, well, the end of that story is that we do get into.
That it leads to getting into the land.
That's
right.
That's what I thought.
Well, in theory, this also. right? Because in the end, what happens here, right? They come to a good place in the Malchut. Then the next king already lets them go back to Israel. So in theory, you could say the same with Pur. Well, they didn't all go back, but they do go back.
But it's different from the mass exodus where
right.
everybody...
Okay, it is different. But on the other hand...
To get to Egypt, was to get to
right,
Israel.
And this wasn't the
goal.
That's true. That's true. Okay. Although what's interesting about it is it is intertwined with that whole time period of going back. So you could somewhat connect. Okay, now we're going to go about to the Nevi'im, this list of 48 Nevi'im and seven Nevi'ot. V'tuleka, there aren't any more. V'haktiv, doesn't it say? Now here we're going to darshin, v'hi ishacha min ha'ramatayim tzofim. Okay, u'shmo Elkanah, right? This is Shmuel's father. Beginning of Sefer Shmuel. What do they say, min ha'ramatayim? Why does it say min ha'ramatayim? He was min ha'rama. So why is it min ha'ramatayim? Echa mi'matayim tzofim, sheninabu lehen li'Yisrael. Okay, they say... Ramatayim is a play on words, right? They're using Ramatayim instead of Ramah to say Matayim. He was one of 200 Nevi'im, Shenit Nabula Henli Yisrael. So they say, there must have been 200 Nevi'im. Why do you say 48? So they say, Mia Tuvaha. There really were more. How do you know? Not even just because of that. Kiditanya. Harbe, get this one. Harbe Nevi'im Abdullah Henli Yisrael. Kiflaim Kiyotei Mitzrayim. Okay, Yotei Mitzrayim were 600,000, we believe, right? Two times the amount. Okay, hard to understand. I also saw a note in the Koran that said that, I think it was the Marasha, that all the people who came out of Mitzrayim saw miracles, and they were almost like Nevi'im. You know, they got to the status of Nevi'im by seeing Kriyat Yamsuf, right? It was this amazing miracle. It turned them into Nevi'im. Ela, it still doesn't explain the other 600,000, right? The double. Ela nevuah shehu tzricha ledorot nechteva, v'shelo hu tzricha lo nechteva. Ah. They're talking only about the Nevi'im that talked about things that affected future generations. A Navi that talked about just his own time period and related to just to the people then, that's not constituted Nivu'ah that we're going to write down. And those aren't the Nevi'im that we're talking about here. We're only talking about Nevi'im that their Nivu'ah were written down. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar, Adam Haba Mishte Ramot. Now we're going back to Ramatayim Tzofim. We're going to give two other drashot. We're going to see all these things they're going to bring all these things to show the connection to these Nevi'im, but then they're going to go off on tangents. Like now, since they brought one drasha on Ramatayim, they're going to bring two others. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar, Adam haba mishtei ramot shetzofot zo al zo. He came from two high places, right, that were opposite each other and could see each other. Rabbi Chanin Amar, Adam haba mibnei Adam sheomdim berumo shel olam. He came from people who stood at the top of the world. What does that mean? V'man ninhu, who were these people? B'nei Korach, they were the sons of Korach. Okay, if you recall in the story of Korach, right, Datan and Aviram and their whole family get killed, but B'nei Korach lo metu, and it's mentioned in the Torah that they specifically didn't die, and the Midrashim try to figure out why and what's going on. So here they give a story about them. Not about why they didn't die, but obviously they did tshuva, and that's why they didn't die. But what happened with them, and why are they considered anashim she'omdim b'rumo shel olam? By the way, because just to make it clear, Elkanah White was from Shevet Levi, and he came from Korach's family. Dichtivu b'nei Korach lo metu, right? It says they didn't die. Tana, it says in a Braita, Mishum Rabbeinu, Makom nitbatzer lahem b'gehenom. God created this high spot in them for Gehenom. When he opened the ground to swallow everybody up, he created this higher spot for them because they weren't as bad. They started to do tshuva, so they weren't so bad. So he created this higher spot for them in Gehenom, right? Because Gehenom, it's obviously worse to be in the depths. V'amdu alav sheva neviot. V'amdu alav, period. So what do the neviot have to do? Okay, v'amdu alav. And they stood, and as God created this higher spot for them in Gehenom, and they stood on that, and because of that, they weren't swallowed up. And that's what saved them. Okay? Sheva neviot, man ninhu. So who are these sheva neviot? Sarah, Miriam, Dvorah, Hana, Abigail, Chulda, v'Esther. Okay, now we're going to go through each of the seven and say, how were they Nevi'ot? Sarah dechtiv, avi Malkah v'avi Yiskah. First proof is, right, it says about her father, he was the father of Milkah, the father of Yiskah. V'amar b'Yitzchak, Yiskah zo Sarah. V'lama nikra shma Yiskah, shesachta b'ruach HaKodesh. She saw, sachta is to see. She saw b'ruach HaKodesh. Sh'ne'amar kol asher tomar elecha Sarah shma b'kola. Right, when she wants to get rid of Hagar and Avram doesn't want to, and God says, listen to her voice. They say her voice because she must speak Nevuah. Davar Acher, so they prove it from two psukim, really. The fact that God says that, and the fact that Yiskah comes from the Shorosh of Sachta Beruach HaKodesh. Now we're going to explain Yiskah in a different way. Davar Acher Yiskah, Sha'akos Sochim B'Yofya. Everybody looks at her beauty. Okay, not that it had to do with her Ruach HaKodesh, it had to do with her beauty. Miriam. Okay, here we're going to hear an interesting story about Miriam and a different interpretation as to why she was watching Moshe when they sent him off in the Teva. Miriam, dichtiv, vatikach Miriam hanivya achot Aharon. Okay, she took, right? It says, vatikach Miriam hanivya achot Aharon. Why is she called achot Aharon velo achot Moshe? Amar Nachman, Amar Rav. Shahitam mit nab'a kashi achot Aharon. Before Moshe was born, she was a Nivia, and therefore at that point, she was only called Achot Aharon. Okay? Ve'omeret Atida, what did she say? What was her Nivuah? Atida imi shetele ben shioshia et Israel. Okay, she prophesies Moshe's birth. U'b'sha'a shenolad nismale kol habayit kulo ora. Okay, the whole house was filled with light. Amar avia u'nishakal rosha v'amar la biti nitkaima nivuatech. Okay? He said, wow, your nivuah got, right? He gives her a kiss. He says, I'm so proud of you. V'kevan shishlichu la ya'or, but then as soon as they send him off to the ya'or, amar avia v'tapcha roshai, he slaps her in the head. V'amar la biti, hecha nivuatech. What happened to your nivuah? So, hainu dichti v'titzav achoto merachok ladat. What did she, right? What did she, l'de'a? What was l'de'a? Ladat ma'yeh basof nivuata. It was almost selfish reasons. She wanted to see, I don't know if you call it selfish exactly, but she wanted to see, is my nivuah really going to come true or not? And that's why she was watching, not necessarily because she was protecting him, right? The way we always view it. But she wanted to see what would happen. And that's why in the end, right, she negotiates everything because she wants to make her nivuah come true. It's almost, as we call it, self-fulfilling prophecy, right? okay. So it's, you know, the yachas of her father to her is a little negative, hard to understand.
He must have been a little upset at that moment.
Right, exactly. I could see, right, that moment was probably a bad moment in his life. Devora, dichtiv. Udvora isha nivya eshet lapidot. Okay, she's explicit. It says it. She's a nivya. So there's no need to go further, but the Gemara is going to darshan other things about her. Eshet lapidot. So they want to know, here there's going to see a lot of things about names and why they say people relate to other people. Here, she's the star, Dvora. Her husband is a nobody, right? So why would it mention her husband's name if he's a nobody? So the Gemara says it must not be that that was her husband's name, Lapidot. It must be they're trying to tell us something else. My Eshet Lapidot, Shaita Usa Ptilot LeMikdash. We actually learned this. She would make the Ptilot for the Mikdash, and that's why she's called Eshet Lapidot. V'hi Yosheva Tachat Tomer. Okay, she's sitting under the date tree. My Shna Tachat Tomer. Why Dafka a date tree? Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Avshalom Mishum Yichud. She did it because she didn't want to be mityached with anybody, right? Yichud, where you're alone with a man. So she sat under a tree, and dafka a date tree, because as we all know, right, date trees are very tall, and their leaves are very high, and they don't really provide a lot of shade. So everyone could see what was going on. Davar acher, ma tamar ze ein lo ela lev echad, af Yisrael shaboto ador lo hayalem ela lev echad, la avien shabashamayim. Okay, it's reflective of the people in her time. It's amazing, right? Because Shoftim, it's all bad, but they're painting a very beautiful story. That everybody, maybe when Dvora was the Shofetet anyway, everybody had a Lev Echad L'Shamayim. What's the date tree? The date tree, all the branches come out of the trunk, right? That's hearts of palm, right? The heart of the palm. It's from, there's one in every tree. Everything comes out of there as opposed to trees where branches come out from all over the place.
To the extent that they're giving her credit for that, that's pretty powerful.
Right. Well, Dvora, I mean, she gets a lot of credit
nice
for a lot of things.
Right?
Yes, exactly. Chana. Dichtiv vatitpalel chana vatomer alatz libi b'Hashem rama karni b'Hashem. Now we're going to darshan rama karni b'Hashem, what that means and how that was a nevuah. Rama karni velo rama pachi. What did they do? They anointed kings using two different things. Either they used a pach, like a earthenware vessel, right, a pitcher, or to anoint the kings, sometimes they used a keren, right, a horn of an animal. Now which is more long lasting? A keren, because a pach can break. So here they're saying, she said, Ramah karni b'Hashem. Those who got anointed with a keren are those who are going to be long-lasting. And those who got anointed with a pach are not going to be. And that was her nevuah, and that came true. How so? Davidu shlomo shenim shechu b'keren nimshecha malchutan. Sha'ul v'yehu shenim shechu b'pach. B'pach lo nimshecha malchutan. Okay? So we have on the one hand, David and Shlomo, they were anointed with the Karen, and therefore their melucha continued, but Shaul and Yehu not, and that was her nevuah. Now we're continuing to darshan Tfilat Chana, even though it doesn't have to do with the nevuah. Ein kadosh kashem ki ein baltecha. Amar of Yehuda bar Menashe, al tekri biltecha, right? That means there's no one like you. Ela levalotecha. What does that mean? Levalotecha is to outlast, to outlive. Shelo kemidat gadosh baruchu midat basar vadam. Midat basar vadam ma'aseh yadav mivalinoto. If you, right, a man generally, now obviously it depends on what type of things, but things that man creates outlive him. Okay? Whereas aval kadosh baruch hu mevaleh ma'aseh yadav, he outlives the things that he creates. So that's ki ein biltecha, ki ein levalotecha. No one can outlive God. Ve'ein sur kelohenu. What does it mean? There's no rock like God, right? Even if we say God is like a rock, it doesn't mean there's no rock like God. God is like God, right? What is sur? They say sur must be something else. Ein sayar kelohenu. There's no one who can draw like our God. Okay. Obviously, this midrash didn't foresee Disney and all those other animations. Adam tsar tsura al gabei hakotel ve'eino yachol lahatil baruach v'nishama. Kirbayim u'bnei me'ayim. Okay? Even with Disney, they can't exactly do this. Okay? A person draws a picture, he can't make it come to life. Aval hakadosh baruch hu tsar tsura b'toch tsura u'matil baruach v'nishama kirbayim u'bnei me'ayim. Okay? He can put everything inside of it and to make it come to life. Avigail dechti v'hayahi rochevet al hachamur v'yoredet b'seter ahar. Okay, here we need some background. Avigail and Naval, I don't know if you remember the story. Naval, right, we have our Navi experts here. Naval was, David went to kill Naval. He was angry with him because he didn't provide his people with food, or he didn't provide David with food. I forget, I think it was David wanted food and he didn't give him. And David gets very angry and he comes at night to kill him. And Avigail, his wife, comes out to meet David. And she says, you know, don't kill my husband. And then in the end, what happens is David says, fine, he agrees with her. He doesn't kill him. And in the end, he dies. And then David marries Avigail. Okay, so a little. Okay, so what happens here? Avigail, how do we know that she was a Neviah? Dechtiv, v'hayachi rochevet al hachamor v'yored b'seter har. She goes down b'seter har to find, right, when David is approaching the house with his men. So they say, Besetrahar, Minahar Mebaile. It should have said she's coming from the mountain, not from the hidden parts of the mountain. What does that mean, Min Setrahar? So what do they say? Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel al Iske Dam Habamin Hastarim. She's coming about Nida blood that comes from the private parts. And that's what it means. You read it, Besetra Minahar. Why? Because clearly, we're going to learn from here that David was a check Tamim of women. Okay? Assume this. Doesn't have much truth to it, but this is the drasha. Nitala dam beheratalo. So she took some blood that she had, and she showed him to see, is this problematic blood or not problematic blood? Amarla v'chimar in dam balayla. Okay, this was all the traps she set up. Because what happens? He said, what, I can't look at dam at night. You have to look in the daylight. Otherwise, you can't tell the color. Amra lo, v'chi danim dine nefashot balayla. Right? Not only, fine, you don't do need the blood, you also... The Beit Din doesn't work at night. They don't do dinei nefashot, and you want to come kill my husband. Amar la, morei b'malchutu, v'lo tzarich l'midayne. He's a morei b'malchut, and he doesn't need to be judged. Right? You don't need judgment. If you're morei b'malchut, all rules are suspended. Amar la, adayin sha'ul kayam v'lo yatzati b'cha ba'olam. She said, Shaul is still alive, and you haven't had your mark set in the world yet. Some people say, Tivacha is your tabat, right? Every king got a coin. You haven't been coined yet. Amar la, baruch ta'amcha u'bruchat, asher kilitanu hayom azem mibo bedamim. Okay? Thank you for saving me from having done something that I shouldn't have done. Okay? And therefore, he doesn't kill him. Damim, so what does it mean, mibo bedamim? Tarte mashma. Okay, we haven't yet gotten to how she's a neviyah. Okay? So they say, damim has two meanings. Ela milamed shegilta et shoka. Okay, it shows, what does it mean? She revealed her thigh to attract him. V'halach le'ora gimel parsod. And he ran toward her in such a, you know, excitement. Ta'ava. And he runs to her three parsod. Amarla hashmili. He says to her, tell me. Amarlo lo tiye zot lecha lipuka. This shouldn't be your stumbling block, okay? What happens? She shows him the blood of her Nida blood, and she says, I'm a Nida, in other words, you can't sleep with me. So she says to him, this shouldn't be your, right, you shouldn't make this a stumbling block that you should sleep with a woman who's a Nida. So Zot, what does it say? This shouldn't be for your downfall. So what was her Nivuah? Zot, meaning this, michlal de'ika achrite. It seems to indicate that there will be another that will cause your stumbling block. Umay nihu ma'aseh de'vat sheva. Okay, umas kana hachi havai. Okay, and that really happened. Okay, that Bathsheba ended up being the down, bringing his downfall, and that is what she prophesied about. Vayta nefesh Adoni tzura b'tzura chayim. This is what she says to him. So ki hava miftire mine amra le beitiv Hashem. Right, 1 second. This is 1 second. Right, this is right. It's also from there, right? Okay, it says you're going to end up right. It's Hashem, right. This is what she says to him is going to happen to him, right? Your nefesh adoni is going to be tzura b'tzura chayim, and that's why you shouldn't kill him. Ki hava miftire mine amra le beitiv Hashem la adoni v'zacharta et amatecha. So now, all right. A lot of people say that this pasuk doesn't really, the nefesh adoni tzura b'tzura chayim doesn't really have so much to do here, and they're not really sure why it belongs here. But then she says, Hashem is going to make it good for you, v'zacharta et amatecha, and you're going to remember me. Okay? Now, what does this mean? Amar Rav Nachman, hainu da'amar, right? It obviously is a reference to the fact that they're going to get married eventually, right? Whether it's a nivuah, or it's more that she's reminding him, don't forget about me, okay? Clearly, there was something going on there, both sides. Amar Rav Nachman, hainu da'amar inshe, okay, now they're going to have some statements about women. Itita bahade shuta pilcha. Okay, a woman, while she's in the Pelech, okay, here Razel's going to be our witness to this. A woman, while she's in the middle of sewing, right, she's still focusing on other things and looking elsewhere, okay? In other words, it's not just, okay? Women are very capable, you can almost say, of multitasking, right? Or also that while their head's in one thing, it's really that they're looking toward something else, okay? Ika da'amre. Some people say that's not what it is. It's not compared to a woman in her pelech, but shafil va'azil bar avaza ve'unayu mitayfe. What's this? The avaz, the goose, he's always looking down. His head is always down, but his eyes are always looking to the sides. Mm-hmm. So he's always aware of what's going on around him, right? It's probably true about women also, right? They're very aware of lots of things going on around them. They're able to see lots of things, and that's what she was obviously focusing right now on. What? On saving her husband's life. But yet in doing so, she was looking toward the future, that if her husband were to die, you know, I'd want to be with this guy.
You know, this is like the story of Rachel, when she's sitting
with the Salim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really, I never really
Why is it like it? Because
she lied and said she was a Nida.
The same. Okay, so, right. So this is the thing. You have to say it like this. It's not that, right, so I'm going to say it the other way. It's, what Sherry's saying is that the story of Rachel with the Trafim is the same thing that she says, I'm in need and I can't move. But what's really going on, it doesn't say any of this in the text about the Dam Nida. This is all the rabbis. Why Dam Nida? Because Dam Nida is the power of the women over the men. They're right, the men have no idea what's going on in the women's bodies. It's the where women have power, and these stories are showing, and the truth is I was thinking about why are they only showing the Sheva Neviot and not the Arba'im V'Shmona Neviim? And it could be because they want to use this to also shed light on the Esther story. In other words, this is all how women use their power to get to be leaders, and that the strength of the women is their calculating, figuring out their tactics as to how to get it, the men, you know, or how to get what they want using, you know, and they use what their strength is, and that's their strength, that they have this secret, right? That's why even B'Seter, right? Seter Ahar. She used secretive information to... Right? In other words, women in general, right, certainly then and even nowadays, right, don't have koch, right? Men use their power, their physical power. The women use their, you know, their ability to multitask, right? They're trying to kind of talk about all the traits of women that are useful in getting what they want. Okay.
In this story, they're using such sexual innuendo.
Yes, so that's the other thing.
And you don't need to, because when you look at the pshat, she's
right.
Being called Isha Chachama. I mean, she's...
Right.
She's. You don't need to go this way at all.
Yes. Although you could say her chokhmah was that she knew that using sexual means was going to get to David. She knew David and what, you know, especially if you say she's in Nivian, she foresaw what was going to happen. She knew that this was a way to get at him. Now, you're right. Us as women have a lot of difficulty having these women use their sexual,
I get it,
you know,
like in the story of Yael and
right.
Certain situations where, yes,
right.
They definitely use...
Right. Right. The question is, why did the rabbis, because again, it doesn't appear so in the text, why did the rabbis decide to use that tool? Yes, it's a very good question. I don't have a good answer to that.
Especially in this story.
Right. Right. No, it's a very good question. And especially, I mean, we've been hearing about sex over the last few pages in general, about Ahasuerus's sexual behavior and why they make a big issue of this. You know, I don't have a great answer. Okay. Chulda. What about Chulda HaNeviah? Okay, Chulda, we again need some background. We learned about her before, actually, in Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu, one of the last few kings, he's the last good king, he makes this huge reform. They find this Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah, when they open it, it's up to this pasuk which says that we're going to go, you're going to go to Galut, basically, okay? And with the king, and, you know, the whole thing. Whole nine yards, exactly, you know, oh my God. And he says, wow. So he goes straight to Chulda HaNeviah, okay? So now we're going to see Chulda, Dichtiv. Okay, the rest of this pasuk, by the way, I was wondering about this pasuk. If you notice, the pasuk says, right, achikam v'achbor v'shafan, right? There's achbar, it sounds like, shafan and chulda in this pasuk, okay? And they go to chulda hanivyah, okay? And I'm going to read you the rest of the pasuk because we're going to get to the rest of this. Chulda hanivyah, eshet shalom, she was the wife of shalom, who is ben tikva, ben charchas, shomer habgadim, okay? So she was the wife of this guy, Shalom. Again, we're going to have this issue. Why are they mentioning her husband, right? She's the important one. And why are they mentioning, more so, not even her husband? They're not going to darshan that. They're going to darshan his lineage. Why do we need to know his lineage? So clearly they're going to say, it comes to tell us something about her, not necessarily about him. So it says they go to Chulda. Now they're going to ask, Ubimkom dekai Yirmiyahu, hechi mit nabi'i. What do you mean? Yirmiyahu was the main Navi in that day. Right? He had a whole book named after him. Why are they going to Chulda and not to Yirmiyahu? So they're going to have two answers here. Amr Beirav Mishmei Derav. Chulda krovat Yirmiyahu haita velo hava makpir alei. The first answer is going to explain why it wasn't a slap in the face for Yirmiyahu that they went to Chulda. And the answer is she was a cousin and they were all part of the same Nevi'im family and it was okay. It wasn't a slap in the face. The Yoshiyahu Gufei, but even if you say that, they're going to say, Yoshiyahu Gufei, Hechi Shavik Yirmiyahu, Mishadu Lekaba. And maybe it wouldn't be insulting to Yirmiyahu, but why would Yoshiyahu Dafka choose her over Yirmiyahu? So, Amri Debe Rabbi Shila, okay, here we're going to have two answers. Debe Rabbi Shila, before I said there were two, really there was one, but then they're going to go on and ask more about it, and now they're going to give two answers. Mipnesha Anashim Rachmariyotin. Yoshiyahu got very nervous, and he felt like if he goes to Chulda, maybe she'll be Mevakesh Rachmanut for him, right? In other words, yes, there's this bad nevuah, but we all know that bad nevuah can be taken back if they do tshuva. So she's hoping that she's going to go out to bat for him. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Yirmiyahu lo hava hatam. He wasn't even there. Why? Shalach lachzir aseret hashvatim. He was busy that day, right? He was out bringing back the Aseret HaShvatim from their Galut. Remember, the Aseret HaShvatim went, right, this is all of Shomron, Malchut Yisrael, they all went to Galut already from the Assyrians. So they're saying that he was bringing them back. Uminalan dihad, or how do we know that he brought them back? Dichtiv, okay, one of the things it says in the Nevuah of Yechezkel, right, I think it's Yechezkel, yeah, in Yechezkel it says, Ki ha-mocher el ha-mimkar lo yashuv. One of the things he says bad is going to happen is that the seller is never going to go back to his land. Meaning, in other words, Yovel is going to be canceled. Now, what's with Yovel? Yovel is canceled when most of the Jews are no longer living in Israel. So the assumption would be that as soon as they went to Shomron, the Galut of Shomron, of Machut Yisrael, there's no more Yovel anymore. So how could he say Yovel is going to be canceled? Efshar Yovel batil v'navim nabe'alav shi'i batel? Could it be that Yovel was canceled? And he's saying in the future will be canceled? That doesn't make any sense. If there's no Yovel now, right? If a Navi came today and said, you guys in the future aren't going to have Yovel, we'd look at him in the face and say, what are you talking about? We already don't have Yovel. So it doesn't make any sense. So, Ela Melamed, Yirmiyahu Hichziran, V'Yoshiyahu Ben Amon Malach Alehem. Okay? In other words, we learn from here that must be that Yirmiyahu brought them back, and therefore there was Yovel again, because most of the Jews were living there. And not only did Yirmiyahu bring them back, but who is king over them? They didn't have a king, right? We don't know any more kings in Malchut Yisrael anymore. It must be Yoshiyahu was ruling over them. Now, how do we know Yoshiyahu was ruling over them? Here we need a little more background also from Sefer Melachim. There's this great story that starts off Sefer Melachim and ends, Sefer Melachim ends with it, not the very end, but toward the end of with Yoshiyahu. There's this Ish Elohim that comes and he testifies and he says, right when Yeravim ben Nevat takes over and the Malchuyot split, this Ish Elohim comes and he says to Yirmiyahu, he talks to the Mizbeach, he says, Mizbeach, you're going to be destroyed. Someone's going to come in the future. His name is Yoshiyahu, and he's going to break your Mizbeach, okay? And he's going to destroy all the Nevi'im, and he basically foresees this Nevuah about Yoshiyahu. Then, Yerava is so taken with him, because then he says, this is going to happen, the Mizbeach's going to, I'm giving a siman, and that siman happens, and Yeravam's hand, Yeravam picks up his hand to go after him, he says, Tapsu, and his hand freezes. And so Yeravam says to him, please pray for me, he prays for him, his hand unfreezes, and he can move his hand again, and he wants to thank him, and he says, come eat, and he says, I can't eat, I'm not allowed, God said I have to go home, and I have to go home not the way I came, and blah, 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 and he goes. Then, on his way home, he meets this other Ish Elohim, who's a fake Navi. And the fake Navi is intrigued with him, and he says, oh, well, God told me it's okay that you can eat. And he listens to him, and he sits and eats with this other Navi, and he leaves the Navi's house, and he gets killed by an Aryeh. And then they bury him, and then that fake Navi says, I want to be buried next to this guy. Okay, it's a very weird story. So they bury him next to this guy. Now,
he did?
Yeah, he died. Oh, no, when he dies. When he dies, I want to be buried next to him. Now, fast forward, Yoshiyahu, many, many years later, right? That was in the beginning of the split. This is way after the Galut of Shomron. Yoshiyahu comes, and he does exactly as the Nevi said. And he, you know, gets rid of all the Mizbechot, and he destroys everything. And then he starts taking out the bones of the people who worship the Avodah Zarah. And he takes them out, and he burns them, okay? And he burns them on the Mizbeach like the Nevi said he would do. But when he gets to this, here we go, we'll read it inside. Vayomer ma'atziyun halaz asher ani ro'eh. He says, wait, there's this gravestone, what is that? Okay, or some sort of sign. Vayomer elav anshei ha'ir ha'kever ish Elohim asher ba miYehuda. Okay, that was the guy who said, vayikrat ha'dvarim ha'el asher asita ala Mizbeach be'Beitel. He's the guy who said exactly what you said you were going to do in Beit El. So now, and then what happens? What happens is he leaves him, and he doesn't get killed, and he doesn't get burned on the Mizbeach, because they realize he was this Navi. And it says that his bones saved the bones of the guy next to him. In other words, the other Ish Elohim, also his bones didn't get destroyed on the Mizbeach, because he was right next to him, and because of that, they didn't dig up things anywhere near there. Okay, so now, what does this have to do with our story? What's he doing at Beit El? Beit El was the shetach of Malchut Yisrael and not his Malchut. So what was he doing in Beit El? How could he have the jurisdiction to go in there and do all this stuff and bear, you know, undig graves? It must be that the Aseret HaShvatim came back and they were living there again and he was the ruler over them. Okay. Rav Nachman Amar Mehacha. Here's another pasuk that they came back. It says in Hosea, Gam Yehuda Shat Katsir Lecha Yehuda is also going to do the harvest when I bring back the galut, okay, the galut of my nation. Okay, Esther, dechtiv, vayihi bayom ha'shlishi. How do we know she was a Neviah? Because it says, vatilbash Esther machut, right? When she goes on the third day after fasting for 3 days, she goes to Achashverosh, vatilbash Esther machut. So what do they say? Big day machut mebaile. It should have said she was wearing the clothing of machut. Ela shalavta lilvashta ruach ha'kodesh. It means ruach ha'kodesh came upon her. There's another pasuk where it says the ruach lavsha, it clothed amasai. So here we see that vatobash could be ruach. Amar Rav Nachman lo ya'e yihiruta l'nashe. Okay, now if we're already talking about women, they say haughtiness is not a good quality among women. How do we see this? Tarte nashe yihiran havyan usanyan shmaihu. There's two women who were haughty of this list that we saw, and their names are bad names. And it shows because they were haughty. Chadashma Ziburita. Devora is like Ziburita. Ziburita is a hornet, okay? Which is a bad, right? It's an unpleasant insect. The Chadashma Karkushta, which is translated as a marten. I don't know what that is, but it's also some weasel. Sort of creature. Okay, weasel. Ziburita Ktivba, what did she do, Devora? In other words, one is Devora, and one we'll see in a minute. Ktivba Batishlach Batikra LeBarak. That she said, go send for Barak and call him. She didn't go herself, and that shows that she was haughty. Karkashta dichtiv, okay, this is by Chulda. Amrula ish, velo amra amrula melech. She says, go tell the man. She doesn't call him king. Okay, so therefore she was called Chulda, right, which is a weasel. That makes sense. Okay, Amar of Nachman, the very last thing we do today. Chulda mibnei banav shel Yoshua heita. She came from the family of Yoshua. Ktiv hacha, how do we know? Ben charchas. Uktiv hatam betimnat cheres. The only time we see this cheres, charchas, right, why is it saying her husband came from the son of charchas? Because it relates to Yehoshua, who came from timnat cheres. So they're connecting and saying she came from Yehoshua. So etive ravena saba, he asks a question on him, l'rav Nachman. Shmona nivim, behem kwanim, yatsu Mirachav Hazona. Eight Nevi'im came from Rachav, and they were Kohanim. Elohim Neriah, Baruch, Vesraya, Machasya, Yirmiyahu, Chilkiyahu, Hanamel, Veshalom. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ab Chulda, Nevi'am, Ibn Eben Asher, Rachav Hazona Aita. So they say, how could you be from Yoshua and also from Rachav? So now and how do we know she was from Rachav? First, we're going to finish this. K'tiv hacha ben tikva u'k'tiv hatam el tikvat chut hashani. Because he's called her husband's ben tikva, and by Rachav it says tikvat hashani, so they connect, and they say that she must have come from Rachav. So now Rav Nachman answers him, Amrila Anasaba. He says, Anasaba. V'amrila pat yuchma. Some people say blackened pot, which is a sign of a Talmid Chacham, who he called him, instead of saying Anasaba, he called him blackened pot, which is a sign for Talmid Chacham because he gets black, right? He's not worried to get all the way into the depths and get dirty from Torah. Minei minach tistayim. Between me and you, we're going to explain this. Tistayim shmata. We're going to explain this sugya. De'igraya v'nasva Yehoshua. She igaira, she converted, and then she married Yehoshua. So he came both from Rachav. She came both from Rachav and from Yehoshua. Okay, we're going to end here, even though you'll see tomorrow there's some stuff about Yehoshua, and they say, did Yehoshua really have children? Doesn't it say, Num b'no Yehoshua b'no? And he didn't have any children. Oh, he had a daughter, and she came from the daughter. And, you know, then they have a few more questions about it.